Welcome to Book Bistro, where book enthusiasts come to chat about the books they love in a warm and supportive environment.
Today is Tuesday, May 7th, 2024. This is Shannon, and I have Mika here with me. And tonight, Mika is the star of our episode because she has taken a nifty little book journey that I find super intriguing. And I want her to tell us all about dark romance. And you will find, you know, a few kind of interjections from me commenting on some of the things that I've read. But mainly, this is the Mika show because she has read some great sounding dark romance. So we will get started with the usual housekeeping information. And then we will get right into it. You can find us on Facebook by searching for Book Bistro Podcast. There we have our usual Facebook page where we keep track of our Wednesday reads and also post information about the Friday episodes. We also have a Facebook listener group that you're welcome to join. And if you prefer a different type of listener group, you can contact us and ask about our WhatsApp group. Both groups are pretty small, not super high traffic, and we would love to have you. If you want to get in touch with us off of social media, you can do so by sending an email to thebookbistropodcast@gmail.com. If you're looking for our main hosting page, where you can find information on the podcatchers that make Book Bistro available to you, you can find that information in our show notes. So, Mika, tell me, first off, how would you define dark romance? Like, if somebody doesn't know what this is, what would you say to them to sort of give them like the quick rundown of this particular type of romance?
It's really difficult to define what dark romance is because there are so many opinions, and dark to one person will mean something completely different to someone else. So before I started reading dark romance, you know, I might read like a Jennifer Ryan book, like Saved by the Rancher, for example. And I felt like that book was kind of dark because like it's one of those romances that's like trade published and the heroine like literally gets beaten up, like really beaten up very badly, and it's very much described on the page. And I was like, oh, and at one point I was kind of like, you know, wow, I really wish kind of people felt a little braver, like to put that kind of thing in a book instead of necessarily glossing over it. Or, you know, dark to me also kind of meant like your Jen Blanco series by Jennifer Estep.
Jennifer,
right?
Estep, yes.
Because that's dark because she's an assassin, and you know, and it's a very gritty kind of underworld. But to other people, dark romance might mean like two serial killers getting together and finding love. So I think maybe the best way to kind of quantify it is to put it like a stair step. So the way that I've seen it in Facebook groups and on TikTok has been, you have like your, you know, kind of lighter version of dark where you're just kind of dipping your toe in just a little bit, because a lot of people ask like, where do I start with dark romance? And that's such a crazy question because it just depends. And then you have your like, you maybe like your gray black, which is kind of like your morally gray characters. And then you have what a lot of people call pitch black, which is now we are like deep in the, we're kind of deep in the darkness, and you might see a lot of like very triggering things on the page, and it might be written out kind of in verbatim, whereas in a lot of books it may not necessarily be. But there are some things that have been like described as more of a gray dark that I would consider pitch black for me. So it is very hard to quantify what it is. I would say that dark romance tends to have themes of like, you know, maybe we might have considered like the Motorcycle Club books as a darker shade of romance.
I was just going to say that like kind of back when Motorcycle Club books were first becoming really popular, a lot of people felt like they were sort of that like taboo, like darker kind of romance. And I'm not sure if that would still hold true now, given like what kind of other things are out there.
But it's really funny.
I do kind of like think back to some of those when I read them and, you know, feel like maybe at least for me, they were a little darker than like some other things that I've read.
It's really funny because, you know, like I probably didn't read them because maybe I don't like enemies to lovers as a trope in general. And there seems to be a lot of that. But now that I've kind of gone down this rabbit hole, maybe now it's like, okay, that's more my speed now.
There are some good, you know, Motorcycle Club romances that I can think back on and say, oh, you know, I did really enjoy those. Now, would I read them again now? Probably not. Like, I think I'm kind of past my Motorcycle Club phase of reading. But there were, you know, some that I thought were very well done and did feel, you know, sexy and intriguing in the way that I personally like want a romance to be.
Yeah, I totally get that. I totally get that for sure.
So what sort of, I don't want to say pushed you, but sort of motivated you to start this sort of look at dark romance and finding out exactly what kind of dark romance works for you and what doesn't?
I would say TikTok. I would say TikTok did, because sometimes when X was Twitter, you know, I felt like there were books that I wanted to ask for that had certain things in it, and it would be taken as, and I was worried to ask because I felt like I might be judged or that it was seen as me like condoning those things. But
well, and book Twitter could be harsh sometimes.
Yes. And I was just, you know, I just felt like, oh, I can't ask for certain things, because I'd seen things from authors. I'd seen tweets from authors that would say things like, if you like this kind of book, then you obviously need, you know, counseling. Right. And to some extent, people feel that way on TikTok as well. They feel like, they call it book talk, because they feel like it's all like smut and all dark romances and stuff like that. And when like literally no one is forcing them to interact with those videos. So so I just started like going down the rabbit hole. I started just watching videos and just kind of being like, oh, okay, like this might work. What might I enjoy in this genre? And I will say that at first, when I started doing this, I was pretty judgmental about dark romance in terms of like, I feel like sometimes I'm a very black and white reader when it comes to the morality of like my heroes, especially. I want them to be like good. I want them to be good people. And when anything kind of challenges that, it's really hard for me. And a lot of the dark romances and stuff that I was seeing was, you know, where she didn't have a lot of agency, he did.
Right.
And that made me like uncomfortable. And yet, if we talk about like sexual fantasies of women and how, you know, there have been studies done about things that women might enjoy, that might seem, you know, inappropriate, but when they're put in the hands of women who are writing these books, I don't want to read a book by a man that has like another man having sex with someone and it's dubious consent, right? Like that, right. And that's just me. Like I'm not interested in doing that. It feels different for me when it's written by a woman, or, you know, or someone that is like not cishet, and that it just feels different to me because I feel like they've put more thought into that kind of writing, and it makes it. I don't like a lot of stories with dubious consent. Like, they work for me until they don't. And I never know what's going to work and what's not until I'm reading it. And it's either going to be like, oh, okay, or, oh, I can't do it. So, and I just had to tell myself, like, okay, we tell people all the time, just because you read 50 Shades of Grey does not mean that you've read every romance.
Right.
Right. So just because I read a couple of things that didn't resonate with me didn't mean that I had read everything in the dark romance sphere. There had to be something for me.
So you were talking about dubious consent, and it made me think about even, you know, some of the books that we wouldn't really call dark romance, but some of the romances that I sort of grew up reading, like a lot of those had dubious consent, if not, you know, out and out rape. And yet, if we think about that, those have not been categorized as dark. Like, people have not good things to say about them sometimes, but I don't know that they would quite fit the criteria of like dark romance. And yet somehow those are like the quote unquote acceptable romances to read.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. I like to think sometimes I feel like this, you know, surge of dark romance is like the modern day bodice ripper.
Yes.
It cracks me up.
And even now, you know, sometimes I find myself like, I want to go back to those like romances that I grew up with. And even though they don't necessarily stand up now, you know, I don't feel the same way about some of them that I did, I still find certain aspects of them to be really intriguing and captivating, you know, in a way that kind of surprises me sometimes. And so I imagine it can be a similar thing with some of the dark romances that you've read.
I feel like I was worried about reading like a Joanna any more like Joanna Lindsay books, or like I've never read oh my gosh, what's her name? The Flame in the Flower.
Kathleen E. Woodwiss, yes.
Yes. So I've like never read her, and I was always kind of like scared too. And the thing that stopped me was I know that there's like a rape scene in that book, you know.
Yes.
And now as I'm reading like dark romance and still, you know, I'm okay sometimes with dubious consent, I'm like, okay, well, what's the difference now between like what I'm reading right now and then what that was? And I don't know that I feel as worried about reading it now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think definitely based on, you know, what we expose ourselves to, I think we can change either in, you know, more sort of positive ways, or our views can turn more negative about something that we've read in the past or something that we've considered reading in the past and maybe, you know, have decided not to.
Yeah. Yeah. It's exciting. So I never thought I'd be here.
So what are some of the things that you find work for you in dark romance? Like, for me, the stalker thing really bothers me. And a lot of the dark romances that I've seen, it's like somebody, you know, it starts out where somebody is stalking someone. And that for me does not work. But some of the thing where they are like joined together and they view each other as equals, and so they're not kind of like quote unquote against each other, like those work for me much better. Like, I like for them to be united rather than sort of at each other's throats.
I can understand that. So So, a funny fact, the stalking theme is one of my favorites,
Oh my goodness.
it's so funny because, right, like, I nobody wants to be stalked in real life. So I think that
No.
the distinction here is that, like, we are purely running on fantasy because it's fantasy that we can control.
Right.
And
There's a lot of things that happen in books that I don't want to happen in real life.
exactly. The stalking thing for me, I'm just like, depending, I'm just kind of like, oh, okay, is it stalking or is he just trying to figure out everything there is to know about this person so that he can be a better partner? It's just
I think
funny how my moral compass
the
just
same thing.
swerves.
So, like, I tried to read, what is that, Haunting Adeline by H.D. Carleton. And the synopsis really intrigued me. The reviews really intrigued me. And I read, I don't know, probably 7 or 8 chapters. And it was very clearly him stalking her. And I was just like, no, I don't think this is going to work.
Whereas I have not read that book quite yet, but and I don't know if I'm going to or not, but I read a sample. So I also read about 7 or 8 chapters and I was like, yeah, I'm in for this. But it helped to know that the hero, even though like he's unhinged, it helped to know that he, besides stalking her, like he hates sex traffickers, right?
Right.
So it helped me to know that it somehow tipped the balance. So I like stalkers. The other ones I like is like masked men.
Oh.
And there have been I Book Bistro hates Book Bistro seems to hate novellas.
Yes, many of us do.
There's so many of you that hate novellas.
Oh, they make
And
me so hostile. Oh my gosh.
yet, novellas, in my opinion, are the best way to get into dark romances because if you don't like it, there's not a whole lot to that you have to read.
Well, that's
And
true.
if you want to know like what your tolerance is, it's a really great way to kind of gauge if you see something like this in a content warning, is it something that you want to read? So I
Right.
love the masked men thing, especially like haunted house. They're in like a haunted house or in like one of those mazes at the fair. I don't even watch horror movies, but you get like three or four masked gentlemen chasing someone through a maze and they're like unhinged and they'll kill anyone that touches her. Hell yes. Sign me up. On the flip side, though, like there are some things that I don't like. Oh, wait. Serial killers. I love serial killers.
Oh, yes, I
And
wondered if you were going to talk about the serial killers because I know.
I love serial killers in dark romances because, but here's my caveat. You cannot be out here just killing like women and killing Joe Schmoes just because you feel like it.
Right?
You have to be killing like you have to be killing people, like people who deserve it.
Bad people.
Yes, like sex
Like kind of like a
traffickers.
vigilante thing.
Yes.
Now I can
And
get into some vigilante stuff.
really the only difference between a serial killer and an assassin, which romance land goes crazy for, is that one gets paid for
That's true. That's true. And they sort of have that, like, oh, you know,
it.
this is my job. Like
Yes.
I'm supposed to do this. But yeah, you make a valid point.
On
I
the flip
also
side.
like when they're like joined together by revenge,
Yes. Oh my
which I guess
gosh.
is kind of like the vigilante thing, but even if it doesn't like end up being with killing, but like they're, trying to take somebody down and the revenge is like the sort of the driving force of the plot,
Yes.
I can definitely be into that.
I eat that up. I eat that up so much. I love that. Now, on the flip side, there are a few tropes that I don't like. This does not mean that, you know, that they're bad books or anything like that. But there are definitely tropes I don't like. I can only take so much bullying,
Oh, yes.
and if you're bullying, I need it to be done soon, and I need the grovel to be twice as long. So, and I do not like, and I can handle quite a bit in dark romances. I don't like power imbalances as much. So, you know, like mafia takes sweet, innocent person, blah, 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 blah. I don't
Oh,
always like
uh-huh.
that. I need them to be unhinged together.
Right.
And,
Right. Instead of like one that is clearly like very naive and inexperienced and is sort of just
yes.
in the thrall of this like, you know, big, powerful mob boss.
Yes. But the thing, the trope that I, the thing that I hate the most, and I can handle a lot in dark romance, but this is my line. Like, I need my people to be redeemable, right? Like,
Yes.
even they don't have to stop being a serial killer, but there is a line of redemption that cannot be in the, and it's different from book to book, and I don't know what it is until they've crossed it.
Okay, so you know, like when it happens, you're just like, nope.
Yes, exactly. But the one that I cannot handle it, is birth control tampering. Like that will make me put a book down
Oh.
so fast. You want to be a serial killer? Fine. You want to be a stalker? Fine. But you will respect the bodily autonomy of your partner.
I'm trying to think. Like for me, I think that the bullying is sort of my like hard line. I can't like there's that whole kind of subgenre of romance that's like, you know, the bully romance. And I've read so many, you know, synopses of these and reviews of these, and I've even tried to read a couple and I cannot do it. To me, like that's if you treat me like crap and you publicly, you know, humiliate me or do like all these things that some of these people do, like I just, to me, that's not a thing that can later like turn into an actual love story.
I can understand that, but I'm willing to have my mind changed. So I'm willing, but
Ah.
I need the bullying to be like bully light, you know, like diet bullying, right? And
Diet
so
bullying.
there's some things I'm willing to change my mind about, but birth control tampering, no, I am not willing to change my mind about that at all. And
That's
there's some
fair.
really there's some romance books I've been wanting to read that I will not read them because I know that they tamper with the birth control or they poke holes in the condom and I can't. So I
Oh,
can't
yeah,
do it. It
that's
makes
no
me
good.
it makes me like incensed. It just takes me I become very angry and hostile. Well,
I think it's very interesting, like the things that we can and can't let go of, whether we're talking about like dark romance or just kind of reading in general. Like just certain things don't
yes.
work.
Exactly.
But like
Exactly.
other things that other people might say, oh, but you know, it's worse to do such, like it's worse to be a serial killer than to poke a hole in a condom.
Yeah.
And yet,
Yeah.
like one of those things works and one doesn't.
And one doesn't. No. I'd love to read a book about serial killers who go after people that poke holes in
Ooh, there we
condoms.
go.
I would read that.
So, do you have, and I know you do you have like some standout dark romances that really like checked all of your boxes?
Yes, I do. So I'm going to say this, that the number one thing that I believe people should do when they're interested in reading a dark romance, pick the subgenre that you like in general and Google and do some research and check the content warnings.
Yes.
Check your content warnings. Do not go in don't go in, you know, without reading them unless you know that you're fine with whatever. I don't like being tricked, so I like to go in knowing kind of what I'm getting into. And sometimes content warnings sell books to me. So, but let's see. I would say first off, Butcher and Blackbird by Brynn Weaver. It stands out to me because it is funny as hell. It is about two serial killers who, one of whom is a chef, and they have a competition that they set up where they take out worse serial killers and they see which one's going to kill them first.
I was super excited to see that my public library actually has this in circulation in both ebook and audio. And I just thought that was very, very cool because a lot of libraries don't, delve into these things.
Oh my gosh, that is awesome. And the book is awesome. It is hysterical. The trigger warning does say that there is accidental cannibalism. And that is true. So just know, and it truly is an accident. So let's see. Scream for Us by Molly Doyle is about masked men at a Halloween, kind of at a Halloween party, basically. And they're kind of terrorizing the heroine, but it ends up being okay. So it ends up being better than you think it will in terms of like the power dynamics. But that there's my masked man right there.
Yes, there they are.
Today I just got done reading. Maybe people wouldn't necessarily think that this is a dark romance, but I just got done reading a book in the Deal with the Demon series by Katie Roberts.
I
And it
love
was
Katie Robert. I love her
is so
mafia
good.
books.
Oh my God, it was
I
so
pretty
good.
much love anything she writes.
I read the Gargoyles Captive, and it was really, really good. I really enjoyed that one. Blade by Cassie Mint. It is a novella, but it is so much fun because she is the stalker.
Oh.
Let's see.
Hmm.
Or she's a serial killer, rather, and he's a con man.
Okay.
And he catches her in the house of the person that she's about to kill. And
That
she
could be a
follows him
problem.
home. So, Where's Molly by H.D. Carlton? This is in the universe of Haunting and Hunting Adeline, as well as Satan's Affair. And it's about like someone that you hear about in Hunting Adeline, but I did not feel like I missed anything. In fact, I could
Okay.
not put this book down. She is someone that escaped sex trafficking and now owns a farm. And people bring bodies to her and she feeds them to her pigs.
This I find incredibly disturbing because I have actually heard of people. Brooke actually told me about someone in Canada who actually did this in real life, like was a serial killer and used pigs to get rid of bodies.
It is very true, and she falls in love with the guy that brings her the bodies, but they're all bodies of like sex
Oh,
traffickers, so it's fine.
okay.
There's a lot of love there. The Butcher of the Bay by Jay Bree, who also wrote like the Bonds That Tie series or whatever, or the Broken Bonds or
Yes,
whatever that series is.
yes.
That one has one of the things that you might see a lot of in dark romances. Is that they don't really shy away from like sexual assault on the page. So just know that going in, and this one definitely does show it's a duet, and the Butcher of the Bay duet, and it does show the heroine being sexually assaulted, not by the hero. The hero is a giant marshmallow, who is a butcher who dismembers bodies, and it's fine.
And it's fine.
It's fine. Going into the Omegaverse territory, We have Havoc Killed Her Alpha by Marie McKay. That one was the, I probably don't want to read any more bullying than that, like than what was in that book. It was definitely a duet, or it was not a duet, I'm lying. The first half was rough for me. It was, but it got a lot better, and I do feel like they redeemed themselves. Pack Darling by Lola Rock is also Omegaverse. And then I want to talk about No Way Out by Santana Knox. Another novella, a professor, his student, and a scarecrow, or someone dressed as a scarecrow.
A scarecrow
are in a maze together. And people in that maze are being murdered.
By the scarecrow?
you don't know who. And I will say that this, that sometimes dark romances, there are some that barely hit on the romance part. Not a lot that I have noticed, but this one is probably less romancy than I would like for it to be, but I still really enjoyed it, and the twist was immaculate. The book that I cannot shut up about, That Sick Love by Jesse Hall.
Oh my goodness.
It's a religious,
that is
she
in
is
my
very religious.
Kindle Unlimited.
I need you to read this book. Nobody has read this book on Book Beastresses so that I could talk to them about it. And I am absolutely beside myself. I've been begging them, audience. I've been begging them for a year. So
not been a year.
Okay, for 6 months, I've been begging
them.
There we
them. Go.
So make them read it. It is one of the few books that I've read that has like that has less than like three romantic partners in it. But it's so good. Oh my gosh. It's all about a religious institution. And Shannon, if you want to talk about vigilantes, it's one. It's this book.
That is why I downloaded it. Like the religious institution and the possibility of vigilantes. I did download it, and I do
and it
want
looks
to read
like
it.
She has no agency, but I'm telling you, I need you to read it. It all just comes together beautifully. The Heartbreak That Birthed Me by Miriam Rosenvig is about a defense lawyer who is a stand-up comedian, and I've now forgotten what the lady was, what the heroine was. But he's a defense lawyer. No, she's a defense lawyer. He is a comedian by day and serial killer by night. And he kills misogynistic men, and it's fantastic.
Oh, now that's beautiful.
It's so much fun. And then the last one I want to talk about is Summon Us by M.T. Adams. Again, this one is a reverse. This is a Why Choose novel, and it is all about getting revenge because people in the town were a cult, basically, and they tried to kill this girl when she was 13. And she is back, and she is hell-bent on revenge, and the men help her get that revenge. I will say, check your trigger warnings, because there was a warning in there. I obviously missed it. I read it a little too fast. When we got to that part, I went, oh my God. So check your trigger warnings for sure on that. And then I just want to go into just a couple of books that I started but didn't finish. And it wasn't the book's fault. It's just that I'm a mood reader. And so I was interested in reading it. And then somewhere in the middle of the book, I was like, yeah, I want to go read something else now. So I will eventually
the mood is
come
gone.
Back. The mood's gone, but I will eventually come back to it. The first one is Ghost by Kat Blackthorne, and it looks like it's going to probably end up being a Why Choose novel, and it's a paranormal. She is running from her stepfather who tried to kill her. And these guys are tied to the town, and this town has a huge Halloween festival every single year and for every day of October.
Whoa.
And I think I just stopped reading it because it was a little too like slow burn for me. But to be fair, I stopped at page 72. It's not the book's fault. I just wanted banging faster. Okay. I just wanted to get to the good part faster. But it's excellent writing. And then The Book of Asriel by Amber V. Nicole. It feels like it's going to be a little too enemies to lovers for me, so I'm going to make Shannon read it first and and then tell me all about it. And the last book I just wanted to mention real quick is The Power of Lies by Orrin Hadley.
Yes.
Did you finish
Oh,
it?
sorry. Yes, I did.
Did you enjoy
Yes,
it?
I did. I am super excited to move on to the second book. It is so good and so different from what I was expecting just from like reading the synopsis. I
Yeah.
loved it and I cannot wait to read more by this author.
It was honestly immaculate. It was so
Yes.
good. And Orrin Hadley has a giant ton of books. She's got like an
Oh, I
11
know.
book science fiction series, and she's got like another series that some people kind of are like, "Yo, this reminds me of Kushiel."
I
It's
think this one, like The Power of Lies, I think that one reminded me quite a bit of Kushiel, not so much in the plot, but in sort of the like the sexy times and
Yes.
yes, and just sort of her relationship with sex and her profession and just the way that she was able to sort of make that work for her in a way that a lot of other women, you know, couldn't in the book.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, exactly. And it really gave me like Love as Thou Wilt vibes a lot, like just love as you will, right? Which is
Yes.
like what they kind of did in the Kushiel books.
And I
It
also
reminded me
thought
a
there
lot of
was such an amazing, like just outside of like the romance, like there was such an amazing friendship feel
Yes.
among them all. Like you didn't, like you wanted them obviously to be together, like because they had really deep feelings for one another, but just like the time that they spent, out of the bedroom and actually getting to know each other and, sharing themselves in a non-sexual way, I just thought was so well done.
The found family in this is damn good.
Yes. Yes, it is. So yes, this is like one of the best like dark romances that I've read and also one of my very favorite Why Choose. We're gonna have to come back and do this again with Why Choose and maybe get Brooke
Yes.
to talk with us about Why Choose. Because there is like so much to dig into in that.
Oh my gosh,
But this book I
absolutely.
think tops like the dark and the Why Choose for me.
Same. It is lovely. It is a lovely book.
But definitely very sexy. Like if you struggle with like the amount of sex on the page, then this one might be hard for you.
There's a ton of sex in this book.
Yes.
I was like,
Yes.
wow, here we are again.
So depending, how people feel about that, like when I was reading Goodreads reviews, some people like really liked it for that. And then some people, not so much.
Yeah. Yep. Some thought it was a little too much, but
Yes. And it is a
personally, I think
lot,
they needed
so
it. They needed it ties in very well with like the magic, and plus they
it
needed all the
does.
sex because the big bad in this is absolutely awful. So
He is terrible. Have you gone beyond book one? Like, have you finished the
not yet.
trilogy? Okay, so you're where I am then at the end of book one?
Yes.
Okay. Well, book two will have to come soon.
Yes, it will.
And this is an older trilogy too, so it's complete.
Yes, and we like complete.
We do.
We like complete around here.
And if you do it in audio, the narrator is really good. She was somebody that I hadn't heard of before, and I'm not always a fan of like new narrators, because then if they're terrible, they can ruin a book. Mm-hmm. But I thought she did a phenomenal job.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I would say that dark romance is just a very big, broad world that so many people, you know, us included, I think, have had misconceptions about and just, you know, didn't really know what to expect. And I think the best thing to do is just find the things that work for you if dark romance is something that you're interested in reading. You know, if it's not, like, fine. You know, you certainly do not have to read dark romance if it's not your thing. But I have been surprised by the things that I have enjoyed. You know, I've not been surprised when I haven't enjoyed something. You know, the things that I don't enjoy in my sort of more mainstream romance are, you know, pretty similar to the things that don't work for me in dark romance. But when you find the good stuff, it's pretty amazing.
Absolutely. And I'm going to stand on my soapbox for just a minute. So like Shannon said, like, dark romance is not, it's not for everybody. And sometimes I think people can, and myself included, right? Like, we, if you hear a lot of people talking about dark romance, and then you know that it, some of the stuff that they're talking about isn't for you, because I've read some books I've had to tap out of where the writing was awesome, but I could not do it. There is no shame in that. There's not a competition. You know, some people are like, how dark can we go? You know?
Oh, right.
So there's no kind of competition. There is no shame, nothing like that. Because this genre is not for everyone. And sometimes I don't always think it's for me. I just kind of tiptoe in the pond a little bit. But there's no shame. And I think sometimes people do feel like, you know, if they have triggers or, you know, things that they don't want to read about, that they end up feeling, you can kind of feel like, well, what's wrong with me that I can't read it, but someone else did and they enjoyed the story. But if I read something like this, it's going to screw with my mental health.
I saw a thing online the other day where somebody was asking, like, what to do when a book really, like, deeply affects you in a way, like, you know, in one of those ways. And one of the best answers that I saw to that was that, like, we read for enjoyment. We read for pleasure. And when it becomes something that has a negative effect on you, then that is, like, defeating the purpose of why we do this.
Exactly. Exactly. And, I am the queen of DNF. Like, if you don't like it, do not finish.
Absolutely.
It.
Right. There's no good in forcing yourself to read something that you aren't enjoying. I mean, unless you're, like, in school and, you know, the textbooks are calling you. But I did enough of that. Like, I don't want to read something that I don't like.
Now, on the flip side of that, we know that people try to shame us for reading romance, right? And then there are people who try to shame others for reading dark romance and saying that there's something wrong with them. How can you read about dubious or non-consent between two characters? How can you read about, and it always tends to be around sex, because,
yes,
because, you know, people, misogyny says women can't take the power into their own hands, and take pleasure out of something that was meant for awful, take something awful that happens to women and frame it in a way that it's not going to have, like, the same effect. And there are so many people, Shannon, who I have, like, read posts from or seen TikToks from or who I've talked to, and myself included, that has said dark romance is where they feel seen, like maybe they have dealt with like sexual assault, sexual abuse, PTSD, things like that, and that dark romances are really like some of the only areas in books where they feel like they are seen and where they've gotten kind of maybe like some healing from reading their story, like reading something that has happened to them and seeing the heroine be able, you know, be able to maybe get the revenge that they never got to get, right?
Right, like to see that play out in a book in a way that, you know, due to circumstances, like it can't really play out in real life, I think can be really empowering to people.
Exactly. Exactly. So if you're ready to take a trip down dark romance lane, let us know.
Yes. Yes. I think in a lot of ways intimidating to people, especially if you've just sort of heard, you know, some of the buzz and you're just like, ooh, you know, this seems like a lot.
Yeah.
I know, you know, that we all have kind of ideas around what we can and can't handle. And I think it's important to respect those things. We respect them in other people, or at least we should. We do here.
Yes. Yeah.
But we should also respect them within ourselves. But at the same time, if you feel like, oh, this might be something that works for me, then that's a great thing. And a lot of these books you can find in Kindle Unlimited. So you're not spending money necessarily to read something and find out, you know, that it didn't work for you and you have to DNF it.
Yep, exactly.
And I think that is one of the best things about KU, whether we're talking about romance or we're talking about, you know, anything else, that it has made it so that I don't worry so much about trying a new author. Because, I mean, I don't want to pay for a book and then be like, wow, I really hate this.
Exactly, exactly.
So you could definitely take a chance and not feel like, oh, you know, now I've just like committed to something because I bought it. Well, Mika, thank you so much for talking with me tonight about this. And like I said, we will have to do this again and like delve deep into why choose.
Oh, I'm ready.
Yes. All right. So, like I said, I appreciate your time and all of the fantastic information that you've shared. Thanks, as always, goes out to Christine for all of her fantastic editing. And of course, we thank each and every one of you so much for joining us each week as we talk about great books. If you would like to let us know your thoughts, you can do that by leaving us a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts or any other platform you use to access the show. And not only does it allow us to see your feedback, but it also helps other book lovers to find us, which is a great thing. So I will be back next Tuesday morning with more bookish fabulousness. And some number of us will be back on Friday with more discussion of great books. Take care, everybody.